This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Red. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready. I can lose it all just as long as I don't ever lose my faith. Never been here, but that makes it new. Doesn't mean it's strange. I'm not lost, I'm on an adventure. I'm just on a quest for my treasure. Cross any ocean, walk any desert. Might fall apart, just pull it together. Think about how far you've come, just remember. You're not lost, you're on an adventure.
Yeah, that's my new shit. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.D. Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And let's start this the way we always do, by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill, listen to my random ramblings, whatever it is I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Started with that clip, because I'm really digging that album. That's the song is called Adventure, and that's from an album called Santiago, by artist Russ, that I really like. Independent artist that like killing it. He makes super dope music. And this last album was just very, I love when like hip hop grows up. And when I like get to listen to an album that like touches on real life stuff and stuff that I'm going through. Like he talked about, you know, alcoholism or whatever. He talked about his drinking. He talks about, you know, seeking approval, like being an adult, a grown man, and like realizing that you're seeking approval and you're doing all these things to try to get, credit and acknowledgement from people, and, you know, and reaching a space where you realize you need to give it to yourself and stop, you know, looking to these external sources, you know, for this stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, I could get like real deep pause, you know, going into that album, but it's a super dope album. So Santiago by Russ, check it out. It's another track on there called Oasis that I thought about playing, you know, for the intro. And I'm vibing to the album. I kind of want to play it again, but I ain't going to do that. But speaking of an adventure, that's what today's episode is going to be, because I really don't have anything planned. I don't really have an idea. I just, you know, it's Sunday night and I'm supposed to do this and I'm doing it. Because I want to do it, because I enjoy doing it. I like talking to y'all, so I just don't have an idea what we're going to talk about. But we're going to go through the regular format, though, and we're going to do what we do first, the Chefy Lee's Report.
Out of Pepe!
Because you know I am. I'm very proud to be. We had our visit this weekend. It was cool. She's just a funny little girl, and it's always some shit that, like, I don't know, I ain't see coming. Pause. So first off, like, she comes over this weekend and she asked me if we could go to the pool or whatever. And so we had that set up to do. And we went out. She's seven. I don't know how to swim. You know, she don't know how to swim. So she still wears floaties or whatever. And she got out there and she was like fake diving. And I don't know. She was having a good time. I think this is the first time she realized like she's tall enough that she could just stand up. Like the pool, you know, in my apartment complex, like I think it's like 3.5 feet at the deepest. And so she finally realized like her feet can touch the ground, like just stand up. And once she got to that point, she was like, man, forget these floaties. Like, let's get these floaties off. It's time to be on big girl status. And she got out there and she came over to me and she was like, Dad, you think you can teach me how to swim? It is one of those moments where it's like, I don't really want to say to you, I don't know how to swim. I'm just like, hey, maybe it's time to get you some swim classes. We could do that. We could do swim classes. I'm going to talk to your mom about that. We're going to work that whole situation out. But, you know, I'm trying to be dad supposed to be indestructible, undefeatable, you know. So I can't be like, I don't know how to swim. So I don't know. Maybe that'll light a fire under me. I doubt it, but it's possible. But after that, you know, she was like, let's have a movie night. Like, she wanted to hang out with Dad. And I was feeling like extra, I don't know, I was feeling like a good dad. Like, my daughter wants to spend some time with me. Normally, she just want to go up, you know, to her room and play Minecraft or whatever. And, like, you know, like, she can be here for a visit. And we, it don't really feel like we spend a lot of time together. Like, we cook and we do a couple of things together. But other than that, like, she wants to go off in her own little space. And I'm just glad I have the space for her. But this weekend, you know, she was like, you know, movie night, let's do this, let's do that. You know, we did our whole cooking thing. We had a nice dinner. And she was like, this is a feast. And we was having a very dope daddy-daughter time. And it wasn't until it was about time for her to go home that I realized that the reason that she wanted to spend so much time with me this weekend, it was because she had left her tablet at home. And so she didn't have Minecraft to play. And I set the TV to cut off after a certain time. So she was just like bored. She had nothing else to do. And it was like, oh, this movie night. Let's do some stuff, you know, with my dad. Because I can't play Minecraft for a weekend. So, yeah, I won by default. But it's cool. It's cool. I still enjoy myself. And then the other moment that I had, and maybe this will tie in to what I talk about in the episode. But, it's just weird realizing that your kid is like, you know, a little you. And so I had an incident not too long ago. I feel like I have like a, what do you call it? Like the Napoleonic complex or whatever. Like, you know, I'm not a super tall dude. I'm not an imposing figure. You know, Ross says in all his assholishness, you know, has got to the point where he just keep calling me a little nigga every time I see him, even though we the same height. But, you know, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm an appropriate weight for my height. I'm not a big dude. I'm not a tall dude. And I've been tried a lot, you know, in my life. Like, people just, I realize in a lot of spaces that I'm in, I look like the easy target. And so, you know, anytime people are catching heat, you know, from multiple directions, from sources they don't think they can handle, like, it seems like the easy move to make is to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to direct this toward Flan, because Flan is he's the easy target. He's the one I ain't going to get nothing back from. I know I could take him if I needed to, that type of situation. And I don't like that. So I had an incident not too long ago where I got out of character. It didn't make me feel good. And I was upset for like days behind it, and not even so much like what happened or what I felt like the person tried me on. It was more like my response to it. I don't like getting out of character. I don't like, you know, being that person. That's not who I want to be. And I hate when I allow people to take me there. I have to remember that I'm allowing people to take me there. But I say all that to say, I guess, you know, my daughter's in the same boat, because I don't know what she did. She did something, and you know, it got to the situation where I was like, look, you got one more time. And then, you know, you're going to have to see me. Like, we're going to have to, you know what I'm saying? I was joking, like we're going to fight. Like, you know what I'm saying? You ready for this? We're going to fight. And I said it in the dad voice, you know, authoritatively. And I figured this is the end of the conversation. She understand what the stakes are at this point. I'm not having it no more. We done. Don't do it again. But this little girl sat there on the couch eating some frozen lemonade. And look dead at, and with the calmest voice, like not in, with any aggression or anything like that. Like, it was, she really channeled her inner flame, and it was fucking amazing. But she looked at me and just said, "You want to try me?" And I was like, it just caught me completely off guard. Like, wait, what? And then she didn't back down from it. Like, she's like, "Nah, you want to try me? If you want to try me, like, let's go." Like, I didn't even know she knew how to talk like that. I'm, you know, maybe she has listened to me from upstairs while I'm recording or something, but just like, she didn't back down an inch. And it was like, what, how do I even, I was not prepared for that response. I don't have a rebuttal for nothing that you're saying right now. And I can't let you win this, but fuck am I supposed to do? Like, I ain't even gonna tell y'all what I did. Cause it was, I'm not proud of it. I ain't do nothing, cry. I ain't hurt my daughter, nothing like that. But I don't feel like it was the fatherly, manly response that she should have got. Because she called me. I was befuddled. I wasn't ready. And maybe she knew, like, yeah, he talking that stuff, but all I got to do is just raise up on him and he ain't going to know what to do. And she was right. She got me. I'm trying to, so I got a new parenting thing to try to figure out, like, if I do get aggressive with my little girl, to like show her, like, I mean, I said, I could throw you across this room if I felt like it. You need to chill. Like, what do I do? If she's like, all right, throw me then. Like, wait, what's the next step from there? I don't know. If you know, let me know. We're going to figure it out together. Whatever it is. That's the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir. It's a doozy. But anyway, I don't know, man. I haven't done like a recovery themed episode in a while. I don't like to have this show or the conversations that I have like be framed solely around sobriety, because I feel like that makes sobriety just seem like a fucking chore. Like it's you just gotta grind through it all the time, and that to me is not attractive to a person that's trying to, you know, get sober. Just to think that like every day, everything I do, I gotta be thinking about, you know, being sober, staying sober. So I try to just talk about like regular life and like my life, and so much of sobriety is living a life that doesn't require the substances. Like it's not, you know, my day-to-day activities that are involved in my sobriety are not me thinking about not drinking or actively not drinking or avoiding places where there's alcohol. Like that's not what I do on a daily basis to stay sober. On a daily basis, what I have to think about in order to stay sober is, you know, minimizing my regrets and resentments, you know, not letting things fester. You know, when I have situations like the one I had, you know, not too long ago where I got out of character, like resolving those situations. And there's some work I need to do in that space that I haven't done. And it probably is playing a lot into what I talked about last week, which is like just not being right. Cause I'm sitting with something. You know, and I need to let it go. I need to resolve the situation, make sure everything's okay, make sure I've done my part, you know, clean my side of the street on that. And that way I can move on from it. It's a lot of time, you know, a lot of my staying sober is doing that, is doing like cleanup work and just making sure I'm not carrying baggage, I'm not holding on to things, I don't have resentments toward people, I'm not upset about something I didn't do. Something like that, you know, that's what I said. I'd rather talk about that, like how I'm processing life and not even mention the sobriety thing. So that it just doesn't sound like my whole life is surrounded around like not drinking. But you know, at the same time, that's in there. Like that thought is there. Like I have to remember, you know, in those times of stress, like that's not an option for me. I can't go to those old coping mechanisms and try to find some peace. Like I know that peace is temporary, and it's only going to make the situation worse. Like, you know, I think it's really cool that like people are like shocked and surprised when I get out of character. Like that actually makes me feel good. You know, when I have one of these moments and then people are like, whoa, they're like taking them back. Because in the past, like that was par for the course, especially if I was drinking, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going out of pocket fair. I told y'all about the infamous chicken slap. I'm slapping chicken out your hand because we arguing about Tupac. Like it didn't matter what it was. You could have said the simplest thing to me and I was going to take it way further than it needed to go. And people had gotten used to that. And so, you know, the fact that I'm around folks now and I'm such a different person and they only know me in this light, that when people see me, you know, jump out the window like that, it's like, oh shit, like, you know, something must have really happened. And I do think that's cool. I want to make sure that those moments are few and far between. But that shit is hard. Like I said, I've been living in this like kumbaya space. Like everything is beautiful. I love you. Love you, bro. Love you, sis. Like I've been trying to be like super positive, and, you know, and that's a little bit of a chore, because the other motherfucker is in there and he is waiting for a moment to just unleash on the world. And I was telling somebody, like, this is how anxiety works. When you start getting scared of what you should be scared of, or that you're not scared enough about something that you should be scared of, like, I often worry about the moment that I do lose it. Like, if I'm not fully in control, I know, like, I have been so angry and, like, not reacted the way I wanted to react for so long that I wonder, like, who's going to step on my shoe and I'm, like, stab him 300 times or something. Like, something like that, it seems like it's going to happen. Like, there's a lot of pent-up rage and aggression. I want to spaz out. There are days where I want to spaz on somebody. Like, I just want something to happen so I can go. I want to go. And it just be the dumbest shit. Like, it was crazy. My neighbor knocked on my door this morning. It's the neighbor that I've been, like, you know, secretly beefing with, talking to you guys on the show. He knocked on my door this morning. And did the police knock? First of all, people understand that. Like, just chill with how you knock on people's doors. Because when you go to the wrong person's door and you do that police knock, that boom, 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 like that, you have already started the confrontation, you know, before I got to the door. Because now it's like, who the fuck is knocking on my door like that? Either I know I ain't got no problems with the police, so who could be coming at my door, you know, with that kind of energy? So that's how I got up to walk over there. And then I see it's this dude. We've never spoken. Like, we passed in the hallway or something like that. I normally got someplace to be or whatever. And we never really spoken. So he came to my door today. And I guess what happened, he wanted to show me that somebody had tagged the walls in one of our stairwells or something like that. He's like, we paid too much to be living here. All these administrative fees. And they ain't fixed this. And now people getting in here, they tagging walls, they stealing packages, blah, blah, blah. He's like, man, we should, you know, I text the people, showing me the text messages sent to the property manager, and we're going to do this, and woo, woo, woo. And then he even said, man, and I know I'm loud, you know, in my bad. He was telling me the situation, there's some people to come in, and he's trying to push them to, like, y'all need to go upstairs with that, you can't do that down here, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, it was cool that, like, you know, he actually addressed the situation with the loudness what we were beefing over. And it really had gotten a lot better, and I had kind of chilled out about it. But, like, that was one of those things, like, in the middle, when that shit first started happening, it's like, I wanted more. It's God's grace that, like, kept us apart. Because I was at a point where it's like, I want confrontation. And I want, like, physical confrontation. I want to hurt somebody. Like, I'm angry. I'm tired of being angry. I'm tired of not being able to address this anger. You have now pissed me off. And I don't want this to end amicably. Like, I don't want there to be a peaceful resolution to the situation. I want a brawl. I want, you know what I'm saying? That's what I want. At this point, I ain't looking to peace it out no more. And I've been in that space. I've been, you know, in that moment I had recently. Like, that's the space I was in. Like, nah, I don't really want to peace this out. It's gone far enough. I'm on 10. Like, all right, let's go. Whatever it is you want to do, let's do. I want to go there. I'm ready to go. You open the door, let's walk through it. Let's go. Like, I didn't want to calm down. Like, it's that part of me is still in there, and it's just like waiting to, I don't know, go crazy. My ex-wife used to call it hulking out, and I haven't hulked out in like 4 years. And I feel like Bruce Banner, I'm always angry. I just haven't hulked out in like 4 years. So it feel like it got to be one in the chamber at this point. And I'm afraid, like, who going to catch that straight? Like, it's like something's going to happen and I'm going to lose it. And, you know, I don't know. I won't pay that. The driving, you know, I'm feeling the road rage. I'm tired of you niggas swerving into my lane, trying to make a turn that you should have been prepared for 3 miles ago. Like, if I had a bigger car, like, don't let me get no money. That's the problem. Like, really, really, I don't need to be successful. If I had, like, fuck you money, or I'd be like, whatever, like, I'm going to deal with the insurance claim kind of money, I would do some reckless things. I'm worried about that. I'm trying to tie this back into sobriety some sort of way. But I mean, I get on this show and I talk about this stuff to, like, get these things out. Because this is the kind of stuff that would sit and, like, fester, and I would think about and obsess about on a daily basis, and, like, not enjoy the way I felt thinking about these things. So to change the feeling, I would go to a substance. And that's, you know, kind of what I was talking about with those, these commercials I'm seeing for Mood and, you know, the supposed to be the legal THC and you can get delivered. And I was like, I was really looking and I was trying to convince myself of how this is not the same thing. It's legal and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I didn't like the way I was feeling. I wanted to change the feeling. And instead of doing the work, you know, and processing the emotions and all of that, I just wanted to mask it. And, you know, and that's the same thing. Like, I know how that story ends. It doesn't matter that this is not alcohol or this something else. I know how the story ends. And I got to chill. So I'm working on that. I'm going to get back to the treadmill. Maybe, you know, like working out or something. Give me a little bit of a release. I don't know. But things are looking up. Things are looking up. Life is good. I have to learn to stop taking things so personally. I take everything personally. Work stuff, friendship stuff. It's all, you know, all crazy to me. And I got to learn that, you know, like people are far more forgiving than I think. I feel like I got to be perfect on everything and I can't let anybody down. And the moment I do something that in my mind is letting them down, like now the world has ended and you don't view me the same way. And nobody expects perfection out of me. And if they do, that sounds like a personal problem. That's a crazy thing to expect out of somebody. I'm saying that, and I still am expecting people to follow the rules on the road when I'm driving. So I got a lot of things to work on, but these are the things that I have to work on to stay sober. Like, it really ain't about the substance. I knew going to Cleveland that, like, alcohol and stuff was going to be around, and I knew I was in a space that I was, like, okay with that. I still came back from there, like, really proud that, like, I slept in a room with a bottle of Tito's sitting on the table. And, like, didn't faze me. Like, it didn't bother me. I didn't think about sneaking over there while everybody was asleep, taking a couple shots. Nobody gonna know. Like, I didn't even have those moments. Like, I survived that and came back home. I was just more pissed that I was in Cleveland. That was it. But, yeah, I mean, that's where I've gotten in the recovery journey. And it's an everyday journey. But, you know, these days right now, it's like managing emotions, like keeping myself in a good emotional space so that I'm not tempted to try to lean on a crutch. And it's tough. It's really tough. Like, my struggle right now is I have so much going on that for me, and I don't know if it's like this for anybody else, like life recently has like felt like I'm sitting watching TV, you know, flipping between 7 different shows, trying to keep track of the plot on all the shows. And it's not like I'm just passively watching. I actually got to participate in the shows or something. I got to play a character on each one of these shows. It's like every time I change the channel, I'm a different person. What was that show, Quantum Leap or something, where a dude just kept leaping into different people, like time traveling, whatever, and just had to figure out who he was all of a sudden and solve a problem so he could get back to the future. I don't know, some crazy shit like that. But that's like what it feels like. It's like I'm texting my nephew, and that's one aspect of my personality. Then I'm texting a homie about Madden, and that's something else. And then I'm talking to somebody about a podcast, and that's something else. And then work comes, and that's another dude. And it's like all these things are happening simultaneously, and they're not like one-off conversations. It's just like I'm shifting back and forth between all these conversations, and I'm adjusting, you know, my personality a little bit here, a little bit there for each situation, trying to be whatever the situation requires. And that's probably just putting a lot too much pressure on myself. Like, I don't have to be the perfect puzzle piece to fit into every situation. I just come, you know, show up as me and be me. And if I fit, I fit. If I don't, I don't. Like, it is what it is. But I'm trying to, like, be the perfect solution to whatever it is that I'm around. And it's not necessarily my responsibility. Yeah. My daughter's my responsibility. My sobriety's my responsibility. A lot of this other stuff isn't. But I take a lot of shit personally. And it's weighing on me. But thank God for music. Thank God for art. few artists out there, I appreciate you. Just know, you know, even in the bad times, when you have a soundtrack to the fucked up times, you look back on it a little different. And this Santiago album came at the right time for me. So I'm jamming to it. Appreciate you, Russ. Appreciate y'all for letting me sit here and rant. I don't know. It's like 25 minutes in. I could probably do one question before I get out of here. Let's pick a random train. What I got? Oh, this is stupid. But if you owned a boat, what name would you choose for it? I don't know. Name it after my daughter. I call it Sweet Pea. That'd be my boat name. Simple enough. That was too easy. Let's try to find. I'm gonna do one more. I promise. This ain't gonna be a questions episode, but this is filler. Anyway, if you could give all human beings one virtue, which would you choose? I like that one better. Honesty. If you could just be honest, and it, understand this, there is honesty without compassion is cruelty. Being honest doesn't mean you have to say hurtful shit to somebody because it's true. There's a way to deliver any message. But with that being said, like I would prefer people just keep it real. Just be honest. Whatever it is, just let it be that. And that's the act. When you lie to me, that is my pet peeve. When you lie to me, what it says to me is that you think I'm dumb enough to believe what it is you're saying. And that is the part that hurts my feelings. I don't like when my intelligence is challenged. If I feel like you're questioning my intelligence, that's when that Napoleonic thing kicks in. And I'm ready to go to war. I hate that shit. I hate it. And I do tend to, and this is me not being honest, but I do tend to, play dumb. I play down, you know, how intelligent I may or may not be. Because, it's not fun to be that dude in the room sometimes. So I play that. And then I want, you know, especially if I'm in business with somebody or working with, I want you to feel like this is your space. I don't want you to feel like I know better than you how to do this. It's like, I may know better than you how to do this, but I actually need you to do it. So I'm act like I don't know how to do it. So you feel comfortable doing your shit and you're not asking me about it every day. But then I've had situations where I've done that and then the people start telling me stuff. I ask for something, they're like, oh no, we can't do that. That's not possible. And then my mom, that's absolutely possible. Now you're lying to me and now I'm upset. So I'd be setting myself up to get upset. Working on that. That's again, not putting yourself in situations where you end up with resentments and things like that. I'm working on it. That's how I stay sober. I do not sit around and hold myself back from walking in liquor stores all day. I don't. I went to a liquor store in Cleveland and I bought some seltzer water. Cause you know, y'all do gin and tonics and all that good stuff. Right. I was in a liquor store not too long ago. It don't bother me that way. So yeah, it's not about so much of sobriety is not about the substance. Once you admit you have a problem and you want to work on the problem, a lot of the problem is the other aspects of your life that made you want to drink, that you was trying to run from, that made you want to do whatever it is you was doing. So you're not lost. You're on an adventure. If I could try to bring it all full circle. Shouts to Russ. Anyway, that's all I got for y'all today. I know I was rambling. Appreciate you riding with me. You are the real MVP. But until we speak again, be safe. Be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, you're not lost. You're on an adventure. And I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.